Hello, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
Diane's not with us today. She's at a Young Living convention, and so we're going to change some things up a little bit today. We're not going to have an afternoon session, so I'm going to stay here and eat with our guests and enjoy myself when we're done with this lesson. And the other reason is I ran out of material. I put together a bunch of recordings that I record usually when it's dark out, and I do have a third lesson, but I'm going to save it for August, our August seminar. So we're going to be a little bit longer till we're together again, because I'm going to have to go to China in July, and of course we have our 4th of July event that Tony and Martha are going to be here with us this year. So Tony and Martha are coming in, I think, June 30th, and will be with us till July 9th. So, of course, all of you guys, I think we're all there last year at the 4th of July. We want you to come again. It's going to be even a bigger show. us boys, I'll tell you. And so with all that going on, and then I've got to go to China in July. Tony and Martha then will be coming back. They'll be gone July 9th through August the 13th, I believe. And then they'll be back here for 3 weeks. Wilfred's coming from Australia. Liliana's coming from Colombia, South America. And all will be staying here. And then I've been talking to Gary Sigler, and Gary's going to be with us this year. So, Rex, I think you guys can fight over who's going to take care of him.
Yeah.
But I said Rex. I didn't know where you were at with Jerry, but Gary's going to come up, and he's going to be sharing as well. And so we'll have Gary and Tony and I, and probably Martha at least once, and expect to have a good time. That is the last full weekend in August. The very last weekend in August, of course, is the start of Labor Day. So, but the very last full weekend in August will be our seminar that starts on Friday and goes through the end of Monday. We're out at the lake on Monday. And so I think most everybody's planning on being there. And we should have a pretty big crowd this year. So Linda and Barry, hello. They're planning on coming up. And so Jackie and Waldemar will be here, and Joan, David and Elaine. David's going to come and do the videos. So we'll probably have a good-sized crowd this year, so we're excited about that. But those are all nice things. Mm-hmm. But the most thing we're excited about is to learn truth. And I got an email from Martha last night as they were listening in from Australia, and they were very encouraged by what we heard. I was really encouraged by what I heard, because I'm sharing this doesn't mean I'm immune somehow from anything, because it's probably just the opposite. We're going to talk about that more today, about what is the call on our life, right? And we've thought of that as a call upon a life that we know. And it's really a call to death. It's really a call to death. And it's not popular among human beings, right? It's not popular. And so there's a guy that writes me, who is more in, follows more in the Sufi area and some of Buddha's teaching. And again, we say those words, and he calls me a Bible thumper, and I call him a goofball. But he listens every week, and he loves our teaching. Well, why is that? I was listening to recordings of these Sufi priests, and they were up singing a song, and they were just singing two phrases. There's nothing, nothing, nothing but God. and they just kept singing it over and over, and they had all these instruments and violins and cellos, and as they kept singing, it just became more beautiful. They were just all sitting there glorifying the Father, which now, if we really know our identity, right, it's not Him, it's yourself, right? It's yourself. It's not the ego, it's yourself. So this is why it's so important to understand this verse in James. But Dave wrote me and he said, when we use words, we always fall short of relaying the message we are trying to accomplish. So he wrote and he said how impressed he was with the first video, only because he knew it was going to alienate a lot of people. Truth is never a popular subject. As the old saying goes, people hate the truth and love a lie. And I'm finding this to be true about our man-made concept of God. If we don't know who we are, we don't know who God is. And they're one and the same, yet we've so confused that. I mean, Jacob, his whole life was, he wanted the blessing of God, but he ran around in fear for his brother the whole time. And here he found out the actual blessing of God. If you remember the story, what is your name? He didn't receive the blessing of God till Esau was hanging on his neck, kissing him, the guy he was running from his whole life. God told him who he was, but he didn't get it, remember? Because God says, your name's Israel. And then he said, well, what's your name? And he didn't say anything. Because he was telling them what his name was. So that's beautiful. He says, your name's Israel. That's me. And he said to Abraham, I'm your reward. If God's your reward, there is nothing else. And if you want to go in and look at passages that say all, I mean, there's hundreds of them. Say, I am all, I'm in all, and I am all, and it's all there is. And it goes over and over and over again. And we've been raised in such separated consciousness, we just don't hear it. We still think we're somebody that needs something, right? And this is why last time we hammered the word responsibility and free will and self-will and all those things. It doesn't mean you're not making decisions in this world. It doesn't mean you're not doing anything, right? But the outcome doesn't matter. It's not about the outcome, right? Yeah. So we do those things, not with the confidence in the outcome. It's just part of our life here. And we don't judge what's going on there. We have to withdraw judgment from it all. This is the only place we can find peace. And that's why this truth isn't popular. It's why when we read James 3, and it says the wisdom from above is first pure, but it ends up talking about hypocrisy. Nobody wants to talk about the hypocrisy because it's always somebody else. We always think it's somebody out there, you know. It's like a heathen drinking beer somewhere in some stoop, you know, next to a brothel house, right? That's where the hypocrisy's at. Well, he's thinking it's you and you're thinking it's him, right? And it doesn't help anybody then, does it? So the only way we can get any help is for us to uncover our hypocrisy. And that prime hypocrisy we found out yesterday was the fact that we think we're separate from God. You know, and we don't say we're God. Jesus didn't say, I am God. He said, the Father and I are one. He said, I am nothing. He's everything, right? He's all there is. And when we find that out... we find out He's a God of unconditional love. He's always a giver. He's always consistent. He's always saying the same thing. That's why the wisdom from above is first pure. It's so important to know there's only God, there's nothing but God. That's where we always have to start. So when you find yourself in a problem, you're usually struggling with symptoms of a greater issue. So you've got to ask yourself why. Till you move back up. If you got to go clear back to there's only God, there's nothing but God, then go there. But you're probably going to find it somewhere in between the hypocrisy and the pure wisdom, right? Is there peace? Is gentleness? If there's the kind of, when this stuff comes to me, there was two or three times you know, when God said to me, there's nothing but me, everything in my mind just melted away. That was the feeling I got. I can't tell you how to do that. There's no way to tell you how to do that. That's just what happened, right? And it became infused into me what that meant then. It never left me from then on. Now, do I forget it? Of course I do. Temporarily, there's temporary insanity going on, okay? No question about it, right? And I think I've had some conversations with Mark about how to deal sometimes with business issues. Sometimes I get tied up in day-to-day business, and then I've got to pull back and realize, you know, what am I doing? You know, how do I run this business? And I've got to take my hands off it and realize I can't run it, right? I just can't do it. Or I wouldn't be able to do it, I'm telling you, all right? It's gotten way bigger than I ever wanted it to get. Never had any intention to do this at all. And Diane will tell you that right from the beginning. I looked at her and said, do we really want to do this? Because I'd already had six businesses. And I wasn't too excited about it. We didn't have any bills. We lived in a little apartment over here. And I walked out in Dahlem Center with my Amplified Bible and just communed with God every day. And I was just happy, you know. No bills, no burdens, no nothing. But I'm an entrepreneur. You know, that's what I am. And an opportunity came and I couldn't stay away from it. And here we go again, right? So here we are today. God's teaching me through this business, revealing himself to me. So I have to be thankful for that and realize that even though things might appear to be out of order, nothing's out of order, right? All things work together for good. All things. And I've got to get my mind off the all things. That's the difficulty. Because if you attach yourself to every little hiccup, you're living in hell. You know, it's not about what's going on in the moment. It's are you content in the moment with where you're at today, with what you have today? And if something you have today is threatened, if it's your life, if it's anything, you've got to realize your mind's on the wrong thing, and we're going to talk about that some more today. So I'm going to read James again, because I've never read a scripture that's so clear as a roadmap as this one. That's why I keep calling it the roadmap. It's the roadmap to the prime directive, right? And so he says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, and then peaceable and gentle, easily to be entreated or understood, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of this is righteousness. And in that righteousness is sown peace. And then it says, we make peace. So it's beautiful. Everything's in there. It's all in there. Okay? Everything's in there. So then the question comes, do we want relief from our circumstances or do we want truth? Mm-hmm. The circumstances are driving us to truth, not an answer to the circumstance. I mean, that's why we got to realize we're Legion. We're Mr. Legion on the hill, in the cave, cutting ourselves with all our problems and torment. We're cutting ourselves. We're crying out every night, just like he was. That's me. That's us. And what happened when it was all done? It said he was found in his right mind. Oh, I want to be in my right mind. And I'm really beginning to see that in so much that I can share it now. Now, do I understand it all at the level that I would like it to be? No, but I can't judge that either. Right? I'm just glad I know what it is. And it's correcting me. That continues to correct me into a realm of unconditional love. Well, who wouldn't want that? You see what I'm saying? It's not a work. We're entering into a realm where the issues all melt away because it's a realm where we're judging the world in righteousness because yourself is judging the world in righteousness. The Father. We got to quit calling him the Father because it is yourself, right? Because when we use those words, it's sort of like he's somewhere else all the time, right? It's okay to use the Father, but you got to realize he's not out in the barn. I don't have to walk out there and talk to him, okay? I don't have to call him up on the phone like I did my dad, right? Because we didn't live in the same house. I didn't have to go track him down somewhere. Hey, you know, what's going on? That's what I mean, okay? Use whatever words you want. You've just got to realize it's yourself, and you're out of harmony with yourself. That's where the friction's at, see? That's why we can't judge by appearances. Because all of a sudden, where are you? You're outside of yourself, looking for answers. You're out here wandering around. That's why it said, that's why in Job, guess who that little devil was up there talking to the Father? It was me. And what did he say? I've been wandering to and fro across the earth. That's me. Following my mind, chasing my circumstances down. And then Job said, everything I feared came upon me. That was next, right? Everything I feared came upon him. And at the end, when he finally met God, again speaking to him out of the whirlwind, the tribulation, talking to him out of the tribulation, God said, would you shut up? Don't you know who you are? You think you're some man who needs something, frustrated, carrying on. And he said to him, it's me. Hello. And it was coming from inside him. See? He goes, Mike, it's me. Hello, it's me. I'm in here. I'm not out there. You don't need to call me. You don't need to come out and try to find me. And when all's your reward, and that's what's in you, there's nothing else to get. How can you get more than all? Yeah. There isn't anything else there. So, do we want relief from our circumstances or do we want truth? Well, here's another painful thing. You can't buy truth, but truth has a price. And everyone must pay with their life, right? Everyone must pay with their life. So what are you giving up? Okay, but what is this life now? We're going to shock everybody again. What are we giving up? And Solomon told us what we're giving up, okay? And it's a little embarrassing when you read it. But he told us what we're giving up. He said, I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity. That's what you're giving up. Vanity. And then he said, and it vexes your spirit. All is vanity and vexation of spirit. So, I mean, come on. Can we give up vanity? You see, it does end up being simple. Why does it become so complicated? That's why we need to park over the word hypocrisy and partiality. Because there's more than one level. There's more than one dealy going on, okay? I've got three or four things, you know, that they hover around. It's like, I like watching football, and I love it when Boomer says, nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Well, nobody circles the wagons like all my problems. They just get around me, you know, and I'm in the center with my shotgun, you know, hoping the Indians don't show up. And here's all my problems in between me and salvation, right? Because salvation is just returning to who you are, right? Yep. It's no, everyone, God is seeing everyone righteous, see? So salvation isn't something you get, it's just we're being called out of the darkness we went into, right? That's why that verse, the children of the kingdom were cast into outer darkness, flips every religious belief on its head. It turns it right inside out. They're all got it all backwards. Everybody's got it backwards, including all the ministries I've been involved with, including our own, including Infinite Way, including Light of the World. We've taught things that says you get rewarded for understanding truth. You get blessed financially and emotionally. Okay? Or there's some other words there. Well, what are we doing then? We're looking for some kind of blip. We're looking for a blip then, aren't we, again? We're looking for the peak of the blessing. And then when it isn't there, we feel judged. And when it is there, well, God's blessing me. When we don't, well, that's all vexation of spirit. There's no reward in an event. There's a lot of events. But we can't, we'd like to jump from peak to peak, wouldn't we? You know, forget about the valleys, right? Well, it flattens all out when you realize when I realize the best businessman in the world is the Father within me that's not selfish. And my goal in this business is to love these people I'm around and to teach them how to be good business people and to get out of the way. I teach them, get out of your own way. Because when we go in and deal with problems that are there, everybody starts getting defensive. The egos flare up. I said, guys, how are we going to solve the problem if we keep trying to defend why we did what we sort of denying we did, you know? And I have more problems with some than others. Some of my higher level people really get it, you know? Do you want to be part of something or are you just here for a paycheck, you know? And they're getting it. They're understanding it. I'm telling you something that's wonderful. Dan Wolf, who helps, he transcribes all my recordings that I make. They become very, very personal, by the way. You don't hear all of it. The guy's getting the revelation. He can't help but not get it. He's reading it, transcribing it all for me. He goes, Mike. You know, he pretty much said when we started all this thing a couple years ago that he was agnostic. I said, that's fine. All right. I'm agnostic too. So I don't believe in this God everybody else believes in. I'm with the atheists. There's no God out there. There's no God out there somewhere. He said, behold, the habitation of God's with man. And out from there it goes, right? That's where it goes from. So the Creator is within you, right? He's within you. Amazing. It's beautiful. So in order for us to enjoy that all, I'm telling you, if you got a problem, say, okay, let's drive over to the Hypocrisy Inn, you know, and go and come in and get a burger and fries and just find out what the heck's going on, okay? That's what you got to do because that's where the problem starts, is there's double-mindedness lurking somewhere behind some bush. There's partiality lurking somewhere, and that's why I love this verse. So, we're going to give up vanity. We don't want it to vex our spirit. So what we're walking away from is much bigger than this little issue you're carrying around with you right now. When we believe we're human beings, we're controlled by just one thing. What is it? Something we want, something we don't like. It could be a person. I've had people call me that are still complaining about their history. And I don't want to sound condescending. You know, I shouldn't do that. It sort of sounds that way. I don't want to do that. But if we can't get into the moment, if we can't get past our history, there's a lot of work that's going to have to be done. If you can't let go of your history. Because you're not even close to the moment. Which is the only place life dwells. So if anything that's happened to you at any level has to be let go of, it's gone. And I think, you know, go back and listen to the recordings on time when Jesus said, I'm going to leave the world now and go to my Father. It's exactly what he was talking about. Your definition of the world has come from your history. Come from your memory, right? And it shocks us to find out that the true God doesn't have a memory. He forever lives in the now, and he's always saying, I love you with an unconditional love. Now, I loved what Gary Sigler was saying in a message I listened to, and he said, you have no idea what you are or who you are. It's beyond whatever you could think. And if you can imagine already being on these two planets, right? It can't be a circumstance world. That's all I know. It can't be a heavenly kingdom that has anything to do with its environment. The environment's a byproduct of the peace within us. That's the, and we can take that anywhere. You can take that into any situation, right? Doesn't matter where you're at. You can take that. That's the call upon our life. That's what we've been called to. And so, I don't want to be grabbing a hold of answers to problems, and there's been thousands of them. You know, I'm a pretty busy guy. You know, I'm sure there's a few thousand. I want to brag about it, but I've always been an active guy. My mom told me if she wasn't there when I got off the bus after kindergarten, I was gone. Well, I never told her I didn't really want to go home. If she wasn't there, I'd run and hide in the woods till she'd come down and couldn't find me. I'd always get my butt beat when Dad got home. But she had a list of things for me to do, and she, you know, she was sort of a screamer and yeller. I don't mean violent. I mean she just, do this, do that. Why don't you do this? You didn't do that good enough, you know. She just, you know, was just on you all the time, you know. And I didn't like that. I wanted to go play, you know. And so if she wasn't right down there, you know, that's why she said if she wasn't there, I was gone. Well, I was there. She could see me, but I was behind a bush. Just waiting for her to drive back up the road to the house, you know, and then I'd take off through the woods, you know, and go do my thing. Well, I found myself in a lot of difficult situations because of that kind of a personality, right? I mean, there was a few extra sparks flying around my neighborhood. I was always into something. And always doing something. This is the life of Legion. When we're talking about Legion, it's really talking about your whole life, right? How can we be found in our right mind? Well, it has to begin with a true identity of who we are, which begins with there's only God, there's nothing but God. How do we go back and line up to that plumb line, whatever it is we have in our hand? And if you remember the story of Moses, he got so comfortable with that stick, God told him to throw it down and there was a serpent in it. Right? You remember that story? It's a beautiful story. What are we hanging on to? Okay, that's stealing away this. It's more than a relationship, like Gary was saying. Even a relationship isn't a good word, is it? Because that's sort of like there's two, right?
Yep. Yep.
But you're with me, right? Well, I guess that's all I got right now. It's more than that. Because there's still some separation in that word, right? And we've got to get away from this separation. There is nothing but God. And his offspring has to be him. It's not like our idea of having a child, even, right? It's different than that. It's like Gary was saying, it's way more than that. We can't even describe it. And that's what we have to look forward to. Now, I want to talk about death a little bit because there's a lot of people that are in our realm that are in fear of it because of health issues. They're in fear of it because of other issues. I can't say at this time that I consciously have been in fear, but I'm sure I would. If something was happening, I was lurking around the door, I'm sure I would. But you got to realize, once your toe quits wiggling, you won't have any memory of it. So what's all the fear going on before something that's not going to happen? You're not going to die. No one dies. Nobody dies. He who drinks of this water I shall give him will never die. What is that? Coming in line with the fact that you're not separate from God. God can't die. And we're all so afraid that our toe's going to quit wiggling. See, one day. And you won't even remember it when it happens. After it happens, you won't even have any memory of it. So what's there to fear? When there's no such thing as death, right? And it's only going to keep getting better. That's all I can say to you. Absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. Well, we can start that right now, right where you're sitting. You can be absent from the body and present with the Lord right now. That's where life begins, right? That's where it begins. And as we focus in on that and understand that truth, life then can start flowing out of us to others because we're not self-centered. We're not focused on us. We're not focused on the flesh. That is the Antichrist right there. That's the heart of the Antichrist. Is there's no more me. It's what can I be to you? What can I be for you, right? That's the reason I love doing this. That's the only reason I love doing it. It's the only reason I love going to work is because of those young people that I love. I don't know where they're at. You know, a lot of them are going to church. Some of them don't go. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I want them to sense and feel that I care for them, and they do. And we take care of them. We're there to take care of them. This business is there. And I realized the other day, this could even sound arrogant to some people, but when I realized that I was yourself, the me was really God, it just came over me that I am the supply to these people. Now, Infinite Way doesn't teach that. They teach that everyone's a supply unto themselves. But those people aren't at a place yet where they know that, right? I am the supply unto these people. And it gave me a lot of confidence then in my activity in love towards this group of people. That my purpose is pure. Now, whether I say the right words all the time and sound loving, and that doesn't happen all the time. I bark like the rest of them sometimes. But I want them to be awake, you know. Because if we're not awake as a business, somebody else is going to be, right? And so you get, this is where I was talking, I think, with Mark a little about struggle. You get back into that competitive spirit, and that struggles a little bit, right, with what we're talking about. But it's okay. I've just got to be patient and let it get worked out, right? Realize that the Father's ahead of me, straightening out the crooked path. That has nothing to do with this going on, the bleeps. That doesn't mean that's flat. It means you see the end as the means. You know, however it turns out, it's the best for me. Whichever way it happens. Whichever way. And so I've learned to rest in that. So, when we live a life going from pillar to post, we see victory as something. We see reward as something. That comes within the circumstances. And we're never going to find rest there because why? It's conditional, isn't it? We could never find rest there. We then become controlled by the outer darkness. Not only do we not suffer, but then we don't see our Father. We don't understand who we are. And so I'm going to give you an example with myself, okay? There's been something that's come alive to me just now, but I've been struggling with one thing in my life. And I said, "Oh Father, deliver me from this thing." Right? That's what everybody does. Get me out of this one, would you? And I promise I'll serve you the rest of my life. Just get me out of this one, okay? This is one, God. It's that one. It's a big one. Watch Sanford and Son. You remember that? That's a big one. Ethel, come on home. Just get me out of this one, God. So I said it again not too long ago. And he said, "No, you don't need to be delivered. You don't need to be delivered from this thing. You need to be delivered from your world." Which could include 100 things. So we can't find success taking them on one at a time. That's the whole deal, right? You can't. We're never going to get satisfaction with the things of this world. So what do we need to be set free from? I want to go into Ephesians now in chapter 4. And again, I've got to be careful with the words we use, right? Because somehow we got to keep in tune with this, there's only God, there's nothing but God, right? So some of these words, just like using the word father or using the word relationship, right? We've just got to know it doesn't, when those words are spoken in Scripture, it's not talking about separation, okay? So we get these principles down. I'll tell you, the Scripture comes alive when you've got these premises right, okay? It really does come alive. And I don't criticize Scripture. I say if I look in there and I see contradiction, I say it's up here. That's what I'm saying. It's up here. I don't know where this guy was exactly, but I know he's a man trying to find the true God, and he hadn't found him yet. So that's the contradiction, right? And I got it in my own life. So if I were to write a book about everything that's happened, you're going to see the same thing, right? So Ephesians 4, 1 through 10. It says, I therefore, now, if you really want to go in and study all this, you've heard it probably before. When the word therefore comes up, it means everything he's talked about in the first three chapters. He says, now that we finish that, therefore, which is referring back to all of these talked about, I found myself the prisoner of the Lord. I beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation within ye are called. Now, he's not calling on a man to do something, okay? Remember that. Keep that in mind now. I beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation with when you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Right? In what kind of love? Unconditional love. And if you're in identity with yourself, this isn't going to be hard. It's going to flow out, right? Forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, there is one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, are we back to pure wisdom or what? So all of that is talking about oneness. It's not talking about separation. It's not a list of do's and don'ts, right? Even when we read it that way, though, we could say, well, be more peaceful. Well, you can't be, right? That's not what it's talking about. And you're going to see as we go on why it means that. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, I love the word all. I love that word because that's your reward. All things is your reward. But we don't seem to be satisfied too long with all things, do we? Because our definition of all things doesn't line up with this. That's why. We've got to come up higher, above the appearances, Jesus said, and begin by judging righteous judgment. Come up higher. Okay, let's just plunge into this. He says, I entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you've been called. He begins with the idea right in the first chapter that God has called you. Okay? This word, this word in the Greek language, it's a fascinating word. Mark's going to appreciate this, but when you look at the Greek, it's described the same way that a process of a summons is given to you. The calling is a summons. It's given to you. It's a summons. So if the person was summoned to an office, to take on an office, then they use this word. Paul uses that idea when he says he's called to be an apostle. He's been summoned to an office. Or if you summon someone to receive a great honor, you might get a call from Stockholm to go get your Nobel Prize, right? That's a summons to receive a great honor. When you hear and receive this summons, it isn't a yes or no response from you. What is it? It's calling you forth from inside you, right? It's a call from inside you. It's a summons to be what you already are. It's a call to be that thing that you already are, which is the offspring of God, the children of the kingdom. The verse started in Matthew. It said, it started at the beginning, it said the children of the kingdom were cast into outer darkness. It didn't say people were lost and God hated them and he was going to smash them and maybe if they called out on God, he'd keep from burning them in hell forever. Okay? I mean, all of us have thought that at one time in our lives. Okay? Because, I mean, the Puritans birthed this country, and it influenced everything, okay? They got letters on their shirts and stuff, you know, that kind of thing, right? They thought they were getting away from it, but they brought it over with them, right? So walk in a manner worthy of the calling for which you're called. To go to a little higher level that helps us understand this, and again, we're just using words, it's also used in the courts to describe a subpoena. When you're summoned to go into court. So, a subpoena is the call that Paul uses here. A subpoena has been placed upon me, and it's one I want. Okay, by the way, usually if you're given a subpoena, there's usually restriction or resistance or... at least in this realm, the subpoena is a demand, and you have to go, or you go to jail. You have to go. That's what that word is. And it's the same way here. If we're subpoenaed, if we're called, if the call comes from God, you can't say no. And the only other option is to dwell in hell, and nobody wants to dwell in hell, right? So it's a subpoena. So God, so he says, walk worthy of the calling wherewith you've been called. And right here, this is where I begin to understand the call of the gospel. God has summoned us with a holy subpoena. And every time Jesus spoke about it, it was always in the context of unspeakable joy. Always. A call worthy. Worthy of what? Worthy of what? Peace, gentleness, unconditional love. This is why it says every knee will bow. Every knee will bow because they're going to find out God loved them unconditionally and it had nothing to do with them or their activity on this earth. And they aren't going to be able, you're kidding me. You mean I'm already forgiven? I'm already righteous? Look what I've done. He says, what are you talking about? The Father says, what are you talking about? Who is your accusers? He said to them. Where are your accusers now? He said to them. Said to the woman, I mean, right? Where are your accusers? Isn't that something? Now, when he said to her, go and sin no more, it had nothing to do with quit going to the brothel house. Go thou and do likewise. Go thou and judge not your brother. You were just set free. Now, can you go and judge not your brother? Unspeakable joy. So here we find the emphasis on this calling. It says, God has subpoenaed us. It is God who has summoned us. This all begins with God and ends with God. Right? We call upon God because God first called us, you see. It isn't that we make the call, you know, and God's on the other end of the phone, right? Hello? Pick up, would you? Right? We're not trying to get God's attention. It isn't because we live a certain kind of life that manipulates God into doing something for us. Okay? That is unconditional love, isn't it? Now, I'm experiencing this right now. I'm going through this right now. Okay? There's things going on that frustrates me with myself. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Get off yourself. I said, you're right, you're right, you're right. I'm forgetting what I'm telling you. I am. I'm forgetting what I'm telling you. I'm not any different. There isn't anything, there isn't anybody more holy than anybody else. Our holiness is the Father within us, and it's all the same. And if we can't see it in the person we like the least, to me, that's the good exercise. Who do you like the least? Go start pouring coals of fire on their head. Take them a cup of water, right? Shock the drawers right off of them. Well, I thought you didn't like me. Well, that was wrong. And I even struggle with the word forgiveness, right? Because really it sort of means I'm just tolerating you. Do you know what I mean? We just forgiven somebody for something they did, but we don't forget it. See, to me, I struggle with the word forgiveness even. Because to me, there's separation there, right? Are you following me a little bit? Yeah. God isn't forgiving us. God isn't tolerating us. He is seeing us in righteous judgment. Way above anything we can imagine. Do you see what I mean? Way above it. Way above that. So this is the subpoena that he's called us to, is this righteous judgment. Do you see what I mean? It's a calling to set us free so that we can be what he is to us, that love to the world. That's the subpoena that's been put on us, right? So the call is to a life where we no longer judge the appearances. It's a call to a life of peace that passes all appearances. Now, it said passes all understanding. Same word. Passes all the judgment of appearances. It's a call to a life. The appearances that present themselves to us every day trying to pull us back into a life of outer darkness. It's a call to rise above that. And when you find out that that's all your torment anyway, don't you want out? I'm going to raise both feet and all my hands, okay? Count all my fingers and my toes, okay? I want out. And usually when I tell him, would you let me out? He says, well, your problem's your judgment. You're out as far as I'm concerned, but what are you judging? You're something you don't like somewhere up the totem pole, right? Well, we're up at the top one carving it away, complaining and bickering about that one, and the problem was probably at the first one we carved. We forgot all about that one, right? So that's what I'm saying. Ask yourself questions. So you know what I say now instead of the Father? I say, Mike, what's your problem? What's your problem? What is it that you want, I say? What do you want? Well, there's usually something I want. He says, well, that's your problem. You know? You've already got all. What are you complaining and belly aching about this little thing for, you know? Right? Now, and there's bigger things, right? There's bigger things. Hey, I'm sympathetic when people struggle with health things, that's a big thing. You know, and how can we help those people? We can go in and be sympathetic and give them a cup of water, but what they need is truth. They don't need relief from their problem. They need a truth that passes all understanding, that's above the appearances. So no matter what happens, whether you're in the body or out, Paul said, do I want to stay or go? See? He was there. Do I want to stay or go? Well, I've said this to myself, okay? I need to be here because a lot of people need me as their supply. And that's the call of my life right now. That's an unselfish call. Even when I say I want to leave, that's selfishness talking. It means I've had enough, you know, that's what it means. I'm up to here with it, you know. And, Diane's not here, but I got to tell you, I've never met a more loving, kind person in my life. And she married the Tasmanian devil. Okay, I'm just telling you. She did. I'm a wild kind of guy, you know. I'm one of them guys. I was always the leader into trouble. You ask everybody that's known me. I was at the head of the pack, leading the mob, you know, whatever it is we were doing. I was the instigator. And I still sort of instigate sometimes, I got to admit, you know. I still do it a little bit. And I go, Nevitz, what the hell are you doing? You know? What are you doing? Oh, yeah. What am I doing? I mean, I did that 40 years ago. Haven't you learned nothing? You know? I'm dealing with something right now I did 40 years ago. And I'm saying, what the hell's going on? He says, my grace is sufficient for you. You've got to realize that you're nothing and I'm everything.
How big a firecracker do you need?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it. We keep making it bigger, Mark. It's never enough. A perfect example, isn't it? We're over there cutting trees down last week to make the show bigger. Everybody's just laughing at us, you know. We're calling up the camp. Can we cut some trees down? Because we want to shoot some fireworks back here in them woods, you know. We ain't got enough. And everybody comes and says, we're sky puking the thing now, you know. I give up. Mark, you got me. That's pretty good. I'm buying a blue light, though, to put on my boat this year, you know. Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, if you don't understand what we're talking about, send me an email. I'll explain it to you. We won't get into it all right now. Sorry. Oh, boy, where am I? Yeah. Okay, so when we've heard, the reason I changed this word, it's a call to a life of peace that passes all appearances, is because when it says passes all understanding, that's sort of nebulous to me. You know, I didn't really know what does that mean, you know, passes all understanding. Well, that's why we got to look back into the Greek meaning some of this, sometimes with this old English, right? Passes all understanding is really passing the turmoil of a life lived in the mind, the legion mind, right? It's passing our judgment of appearances, passing all understanding, a life that passes all understanding. The appearances that present themselves to us every day trying to pull us back into a life of outer darkness, all right? That's what our call is to. The subpoena's on us to call us out of the darkness. Wow, that's a pretty good one. That's the one I want. And I have wanted it. So, why has this call been put on us? God calls us because of who He is. God has set His love upon us. And therefore, when that love reaches us, it comes to us as unconditional. That's the reason we have trouble with it. We don't know what unconditional love is. And I'm not sure that's even the best description of it. I like the word righteous judgment, you know, because it's ahead of the words, right? God's judging the world in righteous judgment, right? It's a disposition. It's not a decision, right? And that's why the subpoena isn't something you accept, right? The subpoena of God is His love is put upon your life already. It's inside you. Just you can't wait to get out. That's what the subpoena is, right? And we've hold it in because we don't know who we are. We don't know who God is, right?
Do you have 2 Timothy 1:9 on there?
I don't.
Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
There you go. Beautiful. Great. Mark's got his Bible software out. What was that again?
2 Timothy 1:9.
Okay, 2 Timothy 1:9. Okay, I got another one in here that's pretty good, but I didn't get that one. Only because I don't want to keep you here all day. But
well, there are lots of them.
Yeah, that's right. When you get the premise down, all of these verses will be very clear to you. They'll be very clear. Because you're going to start out with, there's nothing but God, there's only God, and He's loving the world in righteous judgment, unconditionally, right? Then you take the verse, judge not by appearances, judge righteous judgment. To me, if that's all we had, we'd have it all. If we just had those three passages. Everything else is just a repeating of the same. But what's nice about it is it keeps coming at it in a different way. And it might help this person who's in their circumstance or this person that's in that circumstance, right? So, God has set His love upon us, and when that love reaches us, it comes to us as unconditional. It comes to us uncaused. God is the cause of His love. God has set his love upon us, not by anything we've done. Now, we've heard that before. Now, it was said to me in a different way when I was listening to a guy, and he said it this way. He said, God loves us because that's who he is. He can't do anything else. Do you see what I mean? You see how that's different?
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
He isn't anything else. So that's why we can't do anything about it. Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do about how God sees you. And when you realize it's inside you and it's welling up, there's another obscure passage that talks about the Spirit lusteth to envy. I think it's in Hebrews somewhere. I remember it one time. That love lusteth to envy for you to enjoy all that you are. See, it's lusting for you to come out of darkness, right? And what we're finding is we've got to get out of the circumstance world. This is what Jesus said, is I'm going to leave the world now and go to my Father, who is always judging everything unconditionally in love. And so God loves us because that's who he is. And it says God is love, and it has nothing to do with who you are or what you do on any level. And it does not matter what you've done or what you ever will do or what you might have missed out on. Now, human beings are going to come up and say, well, that gives you a license, right? Well, before we even knew any of that, we did a pretty good job doing it without a license, right?
Yeah.
So that's just all hogwash, isn't it?
That's right.
People that know this, no, it has nothing to do with that.
Yep.
People at this level have no desire to go into McDonald's with a machine gun and wipe everybody out.
Right?
And they aren't listening to this anyway. So, but we're not going to judge those people, are we? That's the work right there, isn't it? That's a work. It's a work to turn on the news at night and say God's loving the world unconditionally and is judging the world in righteous judgment. That's a work. So if it's too hard for you, just turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not our job to go out there and change a world God says he's judging in righteous judgment. We've got to leave our world. We've got to leave our own world. That's the only world you got to worry about. Your definition of the world is the only one you got to leave. And that's what Jesus said. I'm going to leave the world now and go to my Father. And quit judging your neighbor. If he hasn't left his world yet, then go give him a cup of cold water and tell him you love him. And we can't worry about whether we're seeing it happen in everybody or not, right? Because God doesn't live in a time zone. You know what? He sees everybody in already. He sees it done already. He's already on those two planets, isn't he? And I'm just using that as an example because I love space and I love airplanes and stuff, you know. I love studying, you know, that kind of stuff. And it just amazed me spiritually when I heard that story about they'd found these two planets next to each other, you know, going around the sun. And it said, man, it looks like they're just like Earth. You know, they're at the right distance and all that kind of stuff. I go, cool, cool. So maybe Liz is there, you know. If I send her a message, though, she wouldn't get it for 191 trillion light years, though. So that ain't going to work, is it? But her spirit is within me. Isn't that something? That's what takes away, that's what removes the time zone. Beautiful. So, 1 John 4:16-19 says, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. It means they're synonymous. And God in him, again, a synonymous statement, right? He's saying it twice so we can get it. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. What kind of judgment? A good kind, isn't it? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? We may have boldness in the day of judgment. How can you have boldness? Because it's righteous judgment. We want to run to that. I'm going to bow my knee to that and thank God. I can't believe you've always loved me in unconditional love and I haven't even need to be forgiven. It was ahead of me and it's inside me and it's around me. It's more than forgiveness. It's more than mercy. It's even more than grace, isn't it? It's above all those things, right? That's why I think 1 John talked about little children and young men and fathers. We're talking about fatherhood union here. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about little kids that are still confessing their sins, right? And asking for forgiveness, mm-hmm. right? Because you're still a human being if you're doing that. You're still separate. You're still praying to somebody out there to do something for you, right? And they've got some faith. It says they've got a little faith, right? But wasn't Jesus saying that to people all the time, "Oh, ye of little faith"? He's now sleeping in the boat and everybody's barking because a couple waves slap along the side of the boat and a lightning bolt strikes somewhere. You know, he's asleep. And those waves represent what? All of these issues in our life, right? They keep coming in. They're going to keep coming in. Sometimes they're big, sometimes they're little. You know, it keeps coming. And they thought they were going to die. They were sure they were going to die. They say, "Hey, I'll go up there and help the guys." You know. And he said it all the time. So, here he says that we may have boldness in the day of righteous judgment. I'm going to put righteous in. Can I do that? I put righteous judgment in there. I think it's legal, isn't it? "Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Why? Well, he that feareth is what? Hung up on some circumstance somewhere, isn't he? Right? That's what Adam said. Adam felt alone. Because what? He started judging by appearances. He partook of the tree of judgment, of good and evil, and he started judging by appearances. And it was probably pretty hard because Eve was a knockout, I'm sure. And he's going, "Whoo, that's nice." You know? And off they went, right? "He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Here it is, it says again. We love him because he first loved us. And it's even more than that. It becomes a holy fusion, doesn't it? Where that love can't help but get out. And what's the only thing holding that love back? Is us chasing around, going to and fro across the earth, right? What is that? That's the devil. That's the father of lies. It's right up here. Stuck on something, right? We ain't got time for nothing else, do we? And it's why when you, and believe me now, I come home with some things stuck here from that job, that work, right? And the wife is as nice as can be, and she might ask me something, and I just bark at her. Rah, rah, rah. And it, right away, well, listen now, I didn't used to bother me. Right away, I'm going, "Evans, what is wrong with you? She's like the nicest person, you know, and you sound like a dog. You know, shut up, you know." And then I go, "Honey, I'm sorry. Just give me a few minutes just to try to empty my mind a little bit," right? I think that's why singing sometimes is really good. And why I went through that exercise with that rock with you, you know? Because when you're watching the rock go through the water in your mind and you're counting from 10 to 1, guess what? You forget about everything. There's other ways to do it. You can sing. If you like mowing grass. I used to love playing racquetball. I mean, if you don't think about that, you're going to lose. Right? I'd come out of there. My mind was totally cleared. I worked my body out. I felt great. I need to start doing that again. I actually was pretty good at it. Anything like that to me is a form of meditation. You don't have to sit and be still. That doesn't usually work too good for me. Try to sit and be quiet. My mind's going this and that and this and that and that. And heading 4x4 is 6 and 9. I got that to do and that to do. So some people can do that. I don't really think this still meditation stuff's all it's cracked up to be. I'll be honest with you, okay? We can do it. I think once we've heard the word, it might be good to let it sink in afterwards. You know, just to let it resonate for a while before the mind gets busy again, I think. That I like. When I've heard things and I'm going, "Wow, this is new." I just want to sort of meditate on that, you know, for a while. I like that, right? But I usually don't start out that way, right? I think that's why I hear so much at night when I start right before I go to sleep. Rah, 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 you know, I start, "Oh, I better get my recorder, get up and get my recorder because I don't want to forget it, because I'm just telling you it's not my word. Okay? No question about it. I couldn't think of it, and I didn't think of it. I wanted to go to sleep. Okay? And that doesn't make me anybody special. It might mean I've got more things to deal with and it's forcing me into it faster maybe than others. I don't know. It don't matter, right? God isn't, there's no partiality with him. So, but I've really been pushed into a situation where I've said, you know, how am I going to get out of here? Just like David, you know. In hell I cried out and there he was. Well, guess where God talks to us when we're in hell? Isn't that something? Now that you can't say that in a church anywhere. Isn't that crazy?
Really?
Well, it's all over. Jonah said, I was in the belly of hell and cried I unto the Lord. And he started talking to him. Then he spit him out on the land. You know, that'd have been quite an experience, wouldn't it? So, God has called us, and in that call, he has summoned us. God has called us out of darkness with a word of truth. He has called us into his marvelous light to there bear his image. That is to be our normal function. How do we bear his image? By expressing unconditional love. Right? That's how we bear his image. By expressing unconditional love. Diane's got way big head start on me. Huge head start. She come out of the womb just loving. Just lovely. Right? And she expresses that love a lot. Now, she doesn't usually write down what she thinks in her mind when she sees me spinning around trying to tear the wood floor up, you know, out here. Me and the dogs, you know. But she's very, very committed, you know, to us and what we're doing here. And she's got, I don't know how many friends she's got. And you know why? Everybody just says, I just love being with you, Diane. You're so encouraging.
Yep.
Now, can't we encourage the world instead of judge the world, even when they're in things they shouldn't be in? Because we just want to keep correcting the things they shouldn't be in. And that don't work. How can they be drawn out, right? They can only be drawn out by experiencing this unconditional love, and that's your job. Right there. That's your job. Get you a bone and scribe it on there and carry that around with you, you know? I'm unconditional love. Woof, woof. And boy, don't dogs do it? Huh? The dogs do it. Why can't we do it? Well, if we went back to where we're gagging our mouth and plugging our ears and covering our eyes, we could be just like the dog, couldn't we? Right? So, and it has something to do with our senses, tied to what we see, right? And this is why it says, be still and know. Be still and know, right? If you can just keep the lips from moving, it's going to help you.
Oh, yes.
If you can just do that, it might still be going here, right? Yeah, it might still be going there. But if we don't come into agreement with it, right? And to me, I think when stuff comes that we don't agree with, I found not to resist it. Just let it work its course out. Just let it work. Just let it finish up, and it will, because another one will come. See, so if you get victory over the one, it ain't helping you. It's got to be something other than that, doesn't it? So to me, it's a feeling. It's this feeling that wells up in you when we understand how God sees us. It has to be. That's why he says he's judging the world in righteous judgment. He has no choice. It's not a choice he made. It's who he is. It's the same with us. It's not a choice you make, it's who you are. If you want to get back on the choice of stuff, you're stepping back down the ladder to little children again. If you're relying on your right choices, you're in trouble. Because you're not going to make them all right. And then you're condemned. You're right back into the law again, see? So it's way above that. Way, way above it. And what do young men do? They want to fight all the time. They want to argue. They want to debate. Right? Up here, there isn't any debate. That's why we start off, there's only God, there's nothing but God. You can't argue with that. There's no argument there. Okay, so, God has called us out of darkness with the word. He has called us into his marvelous light to there bear his image, which is our normal function. The whole world is and appears to be dysfunctional until we find our meaning and destiny. This is the blueprint and the call of God that He summoned us to. It's the original blueprint for children of the kingdom, is to be unconditional love to the world. God so loved the world. He isn't tolerating it. He's not just, well, I'm going to forgive you, you bunch of no good drunks, you know, whatever it is you are, you know, I guess I'll forgive you. You know, He's not tolerating anybody. You know what I'm saying? And when we see those passages in the Bible, of course the flesh defines that differently. But it's just where David was or Paul was or where these people were in their journey. So I love the scripture because now I can relate to their story. And I think every story in there has to be your story. We were in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? We were with Job. We were in the belly of hell. We were with David. So how can I get into his mind and relate to that so that I can be rescued, right? So we get so tight about thinking all the words have to match up, but it's talking about, most of Scripture is talking about man's journey out of hell. Majority of it. Man's journey out of hell. Revelation is a perfect example. The beast, the false prophet, the devil is all the mind of man collective with the mind of all men. Beast and false prophet is the mind of all men. Right? The devil is your mind. The serpent in Eden was your mind telling you you were something other than the offspring of God. That's just where it started. Right? And so you're forced into judging the world by appearances, right? That's how it all started. And that cycle's continuing today. And it's probably going to continue until we're out of this realm. And so how do we deal? We have to do it in non-judgment of each other and ourselves. As long as we remember not to forget who we are. If we keep returning back, it's a continual state of repentance, really, right? We just are continually, God, you know, I'm just telling you, every time I've whined to Him, and I don't whine to Him anymore because I know now if I got a problem, it's my judgment. It took me 2 or 3 times. You know, now I say, oh, well, okay, I got to go back now. There's something, I jumped off the train somewhere, right? And I'm sort of even enjoying it now a little bit. You know, sometimes it's still painful, but so we're summoned to be guests at a banquet of unconditional love. And so when I speak of this, we've got to realize God is the author of the call. It originates with Him. He is the reason for the call. It's not us. He's also the object of the call. So He calls us out of darkness unto Himself. Unto Himself. The call of God turns us around to see that Father who's judging the world in righteousness. Inside us now, right? So that the eyes of the heart may be enlightened, flooded with light, that we may know the hope to which we have been called. We are the children of the kingdom that walk around in this world with the divine call upon us. The subpoena of God is upon us, that we have been called to bear this image, living to be the revealer of a God kind of love. Now, right away, I don't know if you noticed, but it slams straight into what often goes in the terms of the gospel today. I'm going to tell you what the gospel is. God is not calling us to happiness. This call isn't a call to happiness. So we got to face it square on. Right? The call has nothing to do with the creature being happier. Even the word creature is probably not the right word, right? It sounds again like separation, yeah. Yeah. The call that comes to me in the gospel, this was a hard one. It's not primarily so that I will finally get my act together and be a successful businessman. And I've told you, that's not why I go in. So I think I've got that figured out. But we want to be successful. We want to be profitable. You know, but that can't be my goal. And I teach entrepreneurship out at the college out here. And I said, if your goal is to make money, and that's how you start out, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. That can't be your goal. You're going to already set it up to make money. And if you sell one widget and you got a 30% profit, you got a 30% profit. But if your goal is to make money and get money, you're not going to manage it right. Yep. So it can't be to get money. And I've been really careful about this business not to do that. To try to save everything I can. Right? And it's worked pretty well. But anyway, the call that comes to me is a call to God. The call that comes to me has its object on that spirit redeemer. God calls me to himself. He calls me to be the revealer of him within creation. That's our call. And there's no time zone. There's no pressure. We're not going to evangelize. Nobody needs to be saved. Nobody needs to be evangelized. You just start at home. Just start at home. Just start with those who come in your path. We don't have to go out and create a path. Just minister to those who are in your path that come to you. That's it. There's no pressure, right? So that's what he meant when he said, go out into all the world. Whoever comes across your path, get excited. You can't wait to love on them. That's the eagerness of the dog, right? When I come home, he can't wait to just love me. Especially this little girl we've got. She is just wagging 20 different ways when I come down the stairs every morning. And you know what she wants? Me to scratch her back. She's got this little erogenous zone on her back. And when I scratch that and her leg starts going and on, then she wants the other side. And then once she gets enough, then she starts running around the house like a crazy dog. I'm happy. Dad's giving me what I want, right? Yeah? Well, that's a great example, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, can't we at least do what the dogs do? I mean, horses don't do some of the things humans do. You know? Can we just start at home? Just start with your mate. And then your neighbor. You know, you got some relatives next to you. You know, you got a brother that's caused hell to you. I got one too. Right? I got one too. Now, I can't say it's not a challenge, you know, being with my brother, who every third sentence something's out, he's complaining about something, right? But I'm telling Mark, I said, Mark, we, you know, you want me to treat you with respect, right? You like that. We're here, so you're going to be a good manager. Try to help these kids get better. Don't bust on them every time, because one of our kids up there, we had $400 worth of oxygen we used to run one of our pieces of equipment. He went and left the valves open all weekend, and guess what? All the tanks were empty Monday morning. Oh, he went nuts. Mark did. As he goes through the garbage to pull stuff we throw out that's good. That's how, you know, he pinches the buffalo off the nickel. What do you think $450 worth of air did, right? Well, that's what it was air, right? Isn't that something that funny? Hot air. All it went. He should have heard him. I said, Mark, don't go over and bust the guy's chops. Go over and say, what can we do so that we don't do this again, you know? And he said, well, why don't we put a sign up by the machine and one by the time clock? I said, make sure you go check the valves before you leave for the day, you know? Good. I said, well, let's get excited about that, right? We can afford to lose $400 worth of gas, okay? And that's what I tell the people who work there. I don't mind if you make mistakes, but hopefully we won't do them the same again, right? Can we continue improvement, right? Can we get better? And you can have a relationship where you challenge them to find them. So I try to challenge them to find the things, right? So that's what I do with my brother. Now, it happens every 5-10 minutes with him, you know, right? But the thing is, when I did his review with him, I said, you write what you need to improve on. Don't make me bust you. Write what the things you need to improve on. And at the very end, he says, I want inner peace. And I says, well, Mark, you can't have inner peace if there's outer bitching all the time, okay? He goes, wow, you're right. He heard me. Now, he turned right around, kept doing the same thing, you know. But at least there's a channel, there's a voice there, right? He has a lot of respect for me. He knows I love him unconditionally, okay? Because we've been through some things, right? And I've let it go. I haven't even brought it up. Okay, and it wasn't good. It wasn't much different in your deal, okay? I just let it go. And I think he's shocked. And so that's the call, right? Isn't that the call, mm-hmm. right? Even to rise above forgiveness. Because mm-hmm. Forgiveness just meant I let it go, but we didn't talk, right? I didn't chase him around with a pitchfork. But unconditional love realizes he wasn't doing anything to me because there is no me. And the unconditional love of the Father can absorb all of it. It absorbs it all, doesn't it? And so it doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter. And now I've got a guy that's being raised up, you know. And I can relate to him. I love the guy because we came out of the same mom and dad, right? So a lot of that sensitivity to complaining is something I've struggled with myself. And I've been taught it in the corporate world. When I was in the construction world, everybody is a blankety blank blank, right? Right? And so that's the way we all were. You know, you shut up, do your work, or go home, you baby. Right? Yeah. You can't do that in corporate world. You can't be that way. You got to get there and nurture people. You can't be changing staff every week. So you got to work, you got to do the best you can and nurture people, right? And that's what I'm doing. And it's a little more of a challenge, right? It's a little more of a challenge. But it becomes easier when we begin to know these things. And that's really my job. It isn't to make money. That takes care of itself on its own. So, we're not called to happiness. The call from the Father is not a call to happiness. This is where religion has made such a huge mistake. And I'm talking everybody that's got a ministry name. Ends up back there, okay? Somehow, if you form an organization and you got some guy ahead of it, every ministry I've known, I'm talking all of them now, ends up back there. They're trying to find a tribulation-free zone, which is the same thing as a call to happiness, which is what? Always based on circumstances, always based on appearances, on what happens. Jesus says, get out of it, guys. Step out of it. You're going to get burnt. Judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment.
Deep calls to deep.
Yes. So I think we aren't going to follow a ministry. We're going to follow a person. Don't follow a name. I don't want you to follow me. I've got enough to do. I don't need followers. So the call from the Father is not a call to happiness. If we believe it's a call to happiness, we must realize it's the root of our double-mindedness. Because a call to happiness dwells in a world of good and evil. So here we're going to make a distinction. Because we've confused happiness with contentment. Right? What did Paul say? I've learned to be content in whatever state I found myself in. And he's got a long list. That's a big verse, right? It's a paragraph. It ain't a statement. I've been content in this, I've been content in that, I've been content in this, I've been content in that, content in this. And then, we can cap all that off as we've confused happiness with thankfulness. What does it say in Thessalonians? The will of God is to be thankful in all things. Now, that's hard to do when there's trouble here in River City. Right? You don't know where that comes from, right? Was that, what was that, the show in Cincinnati somewhere? Trouble right here in River City? I can't remember now. It came from a TV show somewhere, but... Contentment and thankfulness is something that takes place when we move into a realm where we no longer judge by appearances. And I know we're hammering the same thing here, but I want to bring in some tools for you. This is a question you can ask yourself. Am I content with where I find my... Where else are you going to find peace? Am I content today with where I'm finding myself, or am I waiting for something to change? Am I content? And you know, to our shame, I think we've got to realize there isn't a lot of that going on. Right? It's getting better. But there isn't a lot of that going on. Now, I think, to me, I think the suffering actually can help that. The more suffering, the better, maybe. I know that isn't going to be popular, but I don't want to brag about what I went through, you know, because then we all brag, right? We're going to say, I'm the one that suffered the most, you know. There goes the ego, right? And I don't want to make this sound complicated either, right? I really don't. I'm not trying to do that, because sometimes it can sound complicated and it can sound like we're judging each other again, and I'm trying to walk that fine line, right, of not doing that. But if you're not content, right, it's your discontent that judges you, isn't it? It's your unthankfulness that judges you. So it's all, and it's all coming from your mind up here, which is not, this thing's going to quit working one of these days, guys, okay? Believe me, this piece of flesh is going to quit working, right? So what's it here for? It's just a tool. It's just a receiver, right? But what did he say? Where do all your problems come from? Your lusts. Your desires, right? The pleasures of this world. We're chasing some kind of oasis somewhere. We don't really know what it is because it changes all the time. Because, you know, and I even thought last night, you know, I'm probably going to dive into the river and try to find my rock. You know, I'm going to get some mask and go get my rock. And you know what? By the time I find it, it won't do any good because I need to fill out another one. Because, well, those things are gone. Those things have disappeared. I got a new set of problems now. See? Right? So how long can we leave that rock set down there? Well, we should just leave it. Because you're going to go get another one in a couple weeks or a month. It's going to have different. Don't live by appearance, he said. Don't judge by appearances. That's what it's talking about. Right? Isn't that something? So I'm going to get a stack of flat rocks, I guess, put it next to the shore. I won't have to go diving for them, right? Oh. Contentment and thankfulness is something that takes place when we move into a realm where we no longer judge by appearances. When we understand that the call of God is to live in the contentment and the thankfulness of unconditional love to all and for all, you will begin to experience this peace and gentleness that it talks about in James. We'll start to walk away from the hypocrisy, to walk away from the partiality, right? And move up towards gentleness and peace, which comes from pure wisdom. But the pure wisdom, when the pure wisdom comes, it's just like the parable of the sower. What did it say? The cares of the world come in and choke it out, right? It chokes it out. And we don't want to live there anymore. Okay, so here is the original blueprint of the offspring of God. You'll be on the road fulfilling your destiny. And like an engine that's performing according to the blueprint, there's a hum about it. You know what I mean? Yeah? I took my car to the garage. I've got this BMW. And it's only got 30-some thousand miles on it. All of a sudden, a great big knock started coming out of it. And this is an expensive car, okay? It's a company car. It started making noise. Whap, 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 you know, and just, it can start to go away a little bit. They can't, the car has been up at the BMW dealer in Lansing 3 months and they haven't been able to figure out what's wrong with it. The next step is to replace the whole engine. This will be the third engine they put in it. Okay? Had a new engine put it in at 5,000 miles. Oh yeah, this comes out of the factory over 500 horse and gets 25 miles a gallon. It's a race car. It's what it is. It's not. It ain't no little BMW. It's a 700 series.
Yeah.
B7. I think you've seen it, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It goes over 200 miles an hour comfortably.
Yeah.
Not that I'm doing that, but I'm just saying it can do that. Now, I don't want another engine, because if it's another one of the same thing, I'm on my road to the fourth engine, right? But the point is, when the engine has a certain hum, we know there's nothing wrong with it, mm-hmm. Right? Everything has a certain sound to it. And so I thought, when we're operating according to our blueprint, I'm trying to give you a blueprint here of what you are, not what you need to do, of how to come into your own, right? It has a certain hum to it. When we have the right relationship, and again, I'm using words again, right? Mm-hmm. When we have the right relationship, I'll say it this way. When we have the right relationship to ourself, right? Not the Creator, not the Father, to ourself, right? There's a certain hum in our life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's the song of God. It's the joy of God. We're functioning. There's a radiance of peace about this. Yep. So these are the PSs, right? But if you're looking for joy, you're never going to find it. Are you? Isn't that something? If you're looking for joy, you're never going to find it. If you're looking for peace, you're never going to get it. It has to come within. Has to be unconditional, right? You can't go looking for joy because it's going to be tied to something. You can't go looking for peace because it's going to be tied to some judgment of the world, right? We bring peace into the world. We bring peace into the world, right? We're not looking for the tribulation to go away. We've got to quit judging the tribulation. We've got to stop judging it and begin at home and just worry about leaving our world, not changing somebody else's, okay? Just focus on leaving your world and then affect those around you, those that come into your life, right? Those that come across your road. So if we're looking for joy or peace, it's always an elusive thing. Once we forget the intent, and you zero in on some joy, you've lost it again. It's like the will of the wisp. Because if we seek out joy, it's always conditional. Right? That's where we get tripped up. That's where we get confused. Right there is a good place. You know, somewhere between the joy and then what's going to make us happy, right, is where we get tripped up. It's really our judgment for peace is really what creates war in this world. Because when we're judging friction, we're creating friction. We're part of the problem, right? We so bad want to see a world at peace. We want to see everybody happy, but we're not happy, right? And we've got to run away from happiness. I'm even using the wrong word again, aren't I? I'm contradicting my own teaching right there. Strike that. Redact that, Mark. We're not looking for happiness, sorry. We're looking for contentment in our own lives. So we've responded to the call of God now. So I want to say in passing that the call of God carries with it the ability to fulfill it. Don't turn it into a work. Don't read the fruits of the Spirit and try to do them more. Because I just told you, if you're seeking joy, you're not going to find it, right? it's going to start flowing out naturally when you're in a place where you're content. Because you got nothing to do but for wait to somebody to come by to love on them. Right?
Because you're rooted in love.
You're rooted in love. Mm-hmm. So, it says, when the good news comes to us, it's impossible. The gospel is impossible. And if we don't realize that, we've never heard it. You can't do it. You can't do the gospel. Right? It's impossible to do it. The gospel can never be lived. We're going to be in for confusion if we think that. But the moment I realize that I'm called to the impossible light, you've got it. Because then I realize that with God all things are possible because there's nothing but God. There's nothing but God. And so the commands of God are not grievous if we understand them that way, see? It's not a call to do something. It's a return back to that which you already are. And you can't become what you already are. It's impossible. You can't become it. So it's a call to love the world in righteousness and see everyone around you with grace and thankfulness that fulfills that true longing that's already in your heart. So we're done for today. And I want to thank everybody out there for coming. If you didn't catch it at the beginning, we're not having a session this afternoon because Diane isn't with us today. And so we'll see most of you again in August for the seminar. So thank you, everybody. Goodbye.